It's wonderful how the American people display their sportsmanship.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whenever you are listening to this. This is the Often Daunted Podcast, and I appreciate you guys for giving me the time over Memorial Day weekend just to, focus on hanging out with the family, spending up at the lake up there in Montpelier, Ohio. It was a good time. Glad to be back into the routine of this and back to giving you one episode a week. For those of you joining for the first time on the Often Daunted Podcast, we will get into the Indiana news. We will get into the national news. Then I will dive into a segment. For this week's segment, I just wanted to look at the Bart Torvik projections for every single one of the Big Ten teams, share my thoughts on where they place, where Bart and his calculations had them projected for next season. And just wanted to weigh in on that. Got some big things coming for the show. Going to be utilizing a, more co-host dynamic, getting one of my old buddies from the 14th and Dunn days, going to be roping him in, and it's going to be fun to have him be a part of the show. And that should be happening in these next few episodes. So, if you are a returning listener, a few shakeups to come, but it'll be nothing to worry about. Same old, same old. Don't expect any crazy over-the-top production. It's just still a one-man editing operation. But on this week, we'll get into all that. We'll get into the segment, and then, of course, I'll get you on out here with a Hoosier History Hit. If you haven't subscribed to the Often Daunted Podcast, please feel free to do so. Doesn't hurt you none, and just helps my ego, seeing those numbers go up every week. If you like the show, please feel free to leave a 5-star review. If you hate the show, forget I said anything at all. All right, Hoosier fans, let's get into the news for this week. And everything in the Indiana news segment takes a backseat because, I'm playing the fight song this week because Indiana's alumni, the basketball tournament team, Assembly Ball, has added the one, the only, Yogi Ferrell. You guys, this is a huge deal. This is as far as my Indiana fandom, Yogi is, he is part of the foundation of which my fandom is built. It just has to do with my time on campus. He was just the guy. And I am so happy to see him a part of this Assembly Ball team. This Assembly Ball team is going to give us more than enough Indiana basketball to absolutely consume this offseason. And this needs to be the standard now. Like, guys, the tier of Yogi Ferrell becoming part of this team is a huge deal. I know Yogi Ferrell isn't one of the greatest Hoosiers of all time, but damn, he is one of my favorites, just bar none. And for as solid as he was, for as long as he was, I have to imagine that tends to be the case for a lot of other Hoosiers out there. Assembly Ball's really putting together a team. They got Troy, they got Miller in line, they got Juwan Morgan. It's going to be a awesome time seeing these guys hit the floor together, representing the Cream and Crimson once again. We get to see Yogi Ferrell representing Indiana University again on a basketball court. That game could be played on the moon, I'm tuning in. Actually, if it was played on the moon, I would definitely tune in. I imagine a lot of our world would tune in. But all right, other Indiana news. Congrats to Devin Taylor. Devin Taylor is the first Indiana player in school history to earn first-team All-Big Ten honors for both his first and second season of college baseball. Also, along with the baseball team, congrats to the softball team as well. The Indiana baseball and Indiana softball teams were the only baseball-softball combination that was able to make it to the NCAA tournament out of the Big Ten Conference, The breadth of Indiana expertise knows no bounds. Baseball, softball, we're going to represent ourselves in that NCAA tournament regardless. Congrats to both of those parties. Now, I say congrats. It looked like a promising start for the Indiana baseball team. Prior to Tennessee breaking us in the most Ivan Drago-esque fashion imaginable, I really think they would have had a chance to beat that Southern Miss team on that second double elimination game. Unfortunately, Tennessee just putting it on us like that, to that extent, just broke this team. It was a wrap after that. And, great season for Indiana baseball. You wish you could have been cheering for them a little deeper into the summer. Regardless, proud that those boys made it into the tournament. It was a little iffy with where they were ranked. It was kind of surprising they got in. Glad to see that they got in and got one. It wasn't just a fluke double out. Well done, boys. Not really starting with basketball so much because I'm also going to be talking about IU football. IU football seats. Truly, condolences to those that were displaced. But we are trying to create an aura now. Sig's cooking. If he wants the student section outside of the stadium, that's where it goes. It's his program. Sorry, but it must be done. I totally understand how easy it is for me to say this all because my seats honestly weren't moved. I don't have the investment in that spot of the stadium to have this affect me at all. But I want to put myself in their shoes, and I want to just provide a little comfort for them and just say, you know, wouldn't you rather watch a game in a slightly different seat in a stadium situated to bring excitement from the crowd? That is what this Indiana, like, I mean, it's been lacking a lot, but that's just a part of what this Indiana football program has been lacking is you need a functioning student section that gets the crowd going. The crowd can turn to the student section and, you know, it sets the tone for the environment. Whatever needs to be done to create an ambiance, an environment of just college football lunacy in Memorial Stadium, I'm all for. I'm sorry if some of you had to move your seats. But please, no, your sacrifice is not in vain if we are trying to, you know, better this football program. Congrats to Sarah Scalia, who tweeted out Wednesday, officially signed a contract to play professional basketball with Magnolia Campobasso in Italy. I am grateful for the opportunity to continue pursuing my dreams. I look forward to this next step in my journey and where it will take me. Congrats to Sarah Scalia. Unfortunate that we didn't get to see her taken in the WNBA draft. I honestly think if she holds out for a few injuries, there will be teams who will sign up for her shooting because her shooting translates. And Sarah Scalia definitely has that talent nailed down. It's a shame to see her take it to Italy, but we're all proud of her. Well done, Sarah. Hoosier in the NBA news for you. Trayce Jackson-Davis finished 11th in all-rookie voting this season for the, all-rookie first team, second team. And him at that 11th spot would mean he was the first guy left off of any of the NBA all-rookie teams. You can say he deserved that spot. I believed he deserved a spot in the 10. But, hey, Trayce Jackson-Davis's rookie year. You know, he started 16 games, averaged 7.9 points, 5 rebounds, 1.2 assists, and 1.1 blocks, all in 16.6 minutes per game. For the 57th pick in the NBA draft, not too shabby. Trayce Jackson-Davis had a stellar year, and just so pumped to see what comes of his NBA career, and just the type of advertisement for Indiana University that he can just continue to be. This week, across high school basketball, Indiana absolutely was able to show Kentucky where basketball has grown, with a clean sweep of the Kentucky All-Stars by the hands of the Indiana Junior All-Stars. Both of these games took place in Scottsburg's Meyer Gymnasium just this last Sunday afternoon. This was all following a week of activities in which both teams, you know, just had a camp together in which these juniors were displaying their what they could bring to the next level of basketball. And events like this are just all they're nothing to really talk about unless you see Indiana sweeps Kentucky in a headline. Of course I'm going to bring up that headline. It could be a T-ball invitational, and if the Indiana team beat 7 Kentucky T-ball teams, I'm going to bring it up on the show. 2 games won by the Indiana Junior All-Stars. Indiana girls absolutely decimated the Kentucky women. The Kentucky girls 111-76 as the boys followed suit to the tune of a 130-103 victory over Kentucky. Junior All-Stars. Junior All-Stars. I got to whisper that. Indiana over Kentucky. I love saying that. I'll say it every opportunity I get. And I'll say it whatever context I get to say it. Indiana over Kentucky. This last week, we saw the Indiana NIL and just, absolute moneymaker for the Indiana programs. The Hubert Winery event, you know, the annual event that takes place in Southern Indiana at Hubert Winery. And since the introduction of NIL, this event has really become a, you know, NIL funding event. And it's events like this that have helped Indiana get into a place where they are with the transfer portal hall they have. And just great to see that it went off without a hitch again this year. Tons of people spoke at the event, players and coaches alike. I just wanted to bring up a few of the things that Mike Woodson had addressed. They're just worth mentioning because, I mean, it just speaks volumes to the team right now, the state of the program, and what we can expect for the season to come. And he spoke to NIL a bit. He spoke to, you know, how we're going to navigate those waters from here on out. Whatever. There's nothing. I'm not really interested in that because as far as I'm concerned, I'm like, okay, if it's a money thing, Indy, we don't have to worry about that because we got to worry about everything else. We can match the money thing. Like, everything else is where we need to beat them because we can assume that we can beat them on the money side. You assume you make an ass out of you and me, but I feel pretty safe right now in assuming that with just the, you know, muscle that Indiana truly flexed just this portal. In his words to the crowd on Wednesday, Mike Woodson took the time to address the abilities of Miles Rice and Kanaan Carlisle and how they will, you know, really, really give this Indiana backcourt something that we haven't seen in a while. And on that, Mike had said, "You think about our guard play over the last 3 years, and it's no knock. We had guys like X and Finnessy, and we couldn't keep anybody healthy, number one. I've learned in the short period of time that I've been in college, you win with good guard play. It's great to have big guys that can play and do the things that we've had over the last 3 with our bigs that we've coached, but you win with that perimeter and guard play. Good guard play. And that was something that we came out of this past season not having. X, you know, the games that he missed, that we had to really amp up our backcourt and get better. And I thought we've done that. I'm going to bring up a few more sentiments from, you know, the great leader, Mike Woodson. But I just wanted to bring up that one because he's saying, hey, we learned. Maybe I'm grabbing that out of context and I'm looking into that too much. But just saying, hey, we learned. We can change. We can adjust. We went out and adjusted. We got the dynamic play guys that we need at that position that, you know, any team looking to truly compete come March and hopefully April need on a roster. Glad to see that Mike thinks they've done that here. I have no reason to doubt it. And of course, you know, I'm always going to err on siding with Mike in the program. Always. Maybe to a fault, but yeah, there we go. Glad to see our boy can learn. I just wanted to bring up three other things from it. I mean, you can go check out all of Mike's words. I mean, they're posted out there for you. You can actually just find a whole recording of it. But no, he spoke to Trey Galloway's health. You know, the surgery, is he going to be ready come the season? And on that, Mike had said, well, again, he's going through rehab and, you know, he's not ready to play yet on the floor, but we're hoping and thinking he's going to be back and ready to go when the season starts. So he's just got to continue. We got 8 weeks here coming up June 3rd and going well into July. And, you know, hopefully by then he'll be ready to play. Trey Galloway's health is huge. What he can bring, it is pretty interesting. I mean, I don't want this to sound like a knock on Trey because Trey is just, he's a program guy. I love the hell out of him. I love everything he's brought to this program over the last 4 years, and I just appreciate everything that he's given us. This truly stinks, but I'm trying to paint a silver lining on this injury. And I just wanted to say, I think maybe this could help, you know, cement the starting rotation. Get the first five locked in, and then just let Crazy Man be Crazy Man. Like, we might get Crazy Man, because, you know, you don't want Crazy Man. Like, Crazy Man isn't the name you give to a starter. It's your sixth man who's going to just bring the ruckus when he's on the floor. That's the Trey Galloway I love. That's, you know, Trey's become so much more than that, but the timetable of this injury, with him having to try to work back into play, getting gelled with these guys, it might set up to where it fits nicely for him to fall in that six-man spot, and that it figures itself out in that regard, because everyone's like, is he going to start? Is he going to be coming off the bench? Six-man, it might figure itself out with this injury. But while also figuring itself out, I think it might find itself in the best formulaic position that it possibly could, if you can track where I'm going with that. Just where I'm like, Trey almost being forced into that sixth spot makes me feel good about the health of the roster entirely. Just the depth that he's bringing from that sixth, the Crazy Man persona, if we can tap back into that defensively, it just gives me a lot to be excited about. And yeah, that's my silver lining on the Trey Galloway timetable, I guess. Mike Woodson spoke on Mackenzie Mbako a bit and just what he needs to do in this offseason in order to improve. And I have to admit, it was pretty funny to see immediately the first thing Mike does is dress down the media for taking down Mbako to start the season. On Mackenzie and his future development, Mike Woodson had said, just keep working, man. You guys, as in the media, were down on him early when he was struggling, and it's a process. You think because a guy wears a 5-star, 4-star, that they can come into college and tear it up. It's not that easy. It's no different than going from college to the NBA, man. It's a learning curve. I don't give a shit how good you are. You have to learn. And it was a learning curve. It was an eye-opener for him because he did struggle early. But he just kept working and working and working, and he got better. And I can't help but think that he's going to continue to get better. I got to push him. He's been working his butt off this summer. They've been all over the place. He's been out in LA playing with a bunch of NBA guys, working on his craft there with people that we know that can help him do some of the things that we already have taught him. So I can't help but think he'll come back this year and make another step, which we need. Mackenzie Mbako, this is me speaking now. This is Burke speaking now. Mackenzie Mbako is the biggest transfer portal get Indiana had. And I'm 100% convinced of that. There were so many guys who had to have been, you know, whispering in his ear, what's the number? What's the number to get you to come out, test the waters? The fact that Mike Woodson was able to have him buy back so quickly, the fact that, you know, maybe our NIL was able to have him buy back so quickly, whatever the case may be, Mackenzie Mbako returning for a sophomore year is not something that the Big Ten, like a guy of that caliber returning, is not something the Big Ten is, you know, used to seeing. I think he's going to be Big Ten Player of the Year, and that might be hyper, that might be me just going crazy, but oh yeah, you listen to the Often Daunted because it's hopelessly optimistic, and I think this Mackenzie Mbako campaign is going to be something to behold. Last thing from the from his media availability during the Hubert Winery event, how Malik Renu and Umar Bala were going to be able to work together in the post. And on that, Mike had said he does a lot of nice things. He doesn't have to have the ball a lot, like I featured Trace Jackson Davis when he was there. He doesn't have to have it a lot, but I'm going to utilize him. It'd be crazy not to. but he runs the floor. He creates space when he demands the ball. He blocks shots. He rebounds for his position. And I think he and Malik will be just fine. It might free Malik up a little bit more to do some things that I want him to do differently this year. But I think they can both coexist. I think Malik and Ware had a nice combination together last year. Unfortunately, Ware is taken off to the NBA. So he says, yeah, you know, Malik may have to do a few things differently next year, but that should be the assumption. We should expect Malik to be able to do a few things differently next year. I'm really hoping to see that perimeter shot really develop. It's there, man. It rears its head throughout the season, and you're just like, man, if we really got to focusing on this, I think there's something here. I'm looking for Malik's perimeter shooting to take a big boost and for him to really spread the floor for Balo in a way that he just really didn't spread the floor for Khalil Ware. Oddly enough, it should have been Khalil Ware spreading the floor for Malik, but I think that Malik can do that for Umar Balo. I think that if he has spent this last offseason really committed to finding that perimeter game, extending his range, Malik Renu is going to be a problem with Umar Balo being able to battle down low for boards on his behalf. Balo and Renu are, as far as rebounding goes, Indiana's got it in droves between those two. This week, John Fanta released his Way Too Early Top 25, and Indiana found itself in the 15th spot on his list. I respect the hell out of John Fanta. I think he is just one of the, you know, more fun college personalities out there, college basketball personalities out there. Some people think he's an IU hater. I think he's an IU fan. I think he almost feels a need to have to slander us because he is telling himself these things to fight his inherent bias for Indiana. That's why we see ourselves at this 15th spot, Purdue at the 10th spot. Other Big Ten teams include UCLA at 17, Maryland at 20, which is crazy, Ohio State at 21, and Rutgers at 24. Along with Fanta, we also got Doster's top 25. Doster I don't respect as much, but, you know, he's a listen-to talking head out there, and the Field of 68 put out his top two early top 25 preseason rankings, and he actually showed us a bit more love than John Fanta, placing the Hoosiers in the 13th spot for this upcoming season. Other Big Ten teams on his rankings are Purdue at 9, Ohio State at 20, and UCLA at 23. And the last of the rankings that I wanted to bring up, Andy Katz got his Power 36 out there this week, and the Hoosiers find themselves in the top 12 at the 12th spot with Purdue at 10. Other ways of, you know, saying how where the Big Ten stacks up amongst itself. Andy also released a tiers. I'm a sucker for tiers. I'm simple like that. He released his tiers for Big Ten basketball going into next season. He had three different tiers: work to do, teams in contention for an NCAA berth, and the Big Ten contenders. And Indiana found itself in that Big Ten contenders spot, along with Purdue, Ohio State, UCLA, and Illinois. Unlike John Fanta, I think Andy Katz really watches a lot more Big Ten basketball. He really understands it because he sees that, you know, USC is going to struggle. Maryland, they definitely aren't a top 25 because they're in the Big Ten's work to do tier for Mr. Andy Katz. God love that man. Welcome home to Miles Rice. Miles arrived in Bloomington just this last Monday, seemingly ready to hit the ground running. He shared a pic of his locker between McKenzie and Bryson's, confirming that, yes, number one goes to Miles Rice this upcoming season. Nice to know I already have my Miles Rice jersey. My wife got me the, you know, the P&E print, the P&E exclusives, and got the number one for that. Got it for Khalil, but glad to see I get a rocket for Mr. Rice here. Oh, shoot. Do I need to go support him? Yeah, I need to buy a new number one, don't I? That's why we're different, folks. We're not just going to be like, yeah, same number, because it's not. We know that our money goes somewhere. Somebody's going to get paid because I need to buy a new Miles Rice jersey. And yes, all of you wearing number one, possibly while you're listening to this, because it's probably the most worn Indiana Hoosier number out there. You're going to have to buy a new one as well. Do your part, okay? We all got to do our part for this team to succeed. And I'm sorry, Miles, for even alluding to possibly running it back with the same jersey. You know, this transfer portal, or this graduation, I guess, this graduation season, we saw Anthony Walker walk out the door. I'm so happy that guy became a Hoosier. Seemed to really love the program while he spent the time with it. And I just loved his words for Mike Woodson. Just this last week, he sent out a tweet that he definitely didn't need to. But he sent it out, and it was an absolute bar. Along with a pic of him and Mike Woodson, Anthony Walker said, "Trust this man. He's in the business of putting old heads on young shoulders." And that may be one of the cooler recommendations I've ever heard given. Something like that. Just to, you know, really, really dance with those words. Trust this man. He's in the business of putting old heads on young shoulders. I love that. I love that statement. It's just a great line by Anthony Walker. Thank you so much, Anthony. Once a Hoosier, always a Hoosier. Anthony Walker, just what a guy. He's the man. since our last time of recording, the Sleepers Media guys, if you haven't listened to them, just a Big Ten podcast out there covering every team, doing great work. They're really blowing up and going to for sure be known by more if they're not on your radar yet. But they put out their recent state of the program for Indiana. And I just wanted to point you all to that. Go check out their video on YouTube, the state of the program for Indiana. It's just a fun exercise. They go through each of the Big Ten teams, breaking it down category by category, awarding 10 points for each category. One of the categories is vibes. One of the five categories is just, you know, how's the program's vibes right now? And I just wanted to bring up that. I'm not going to spoil the whole video. Go check it out. But they broke down just where this Indiana program is. And when they got to the vibes, they addressed how, yeah, it's going to be interesting. This is an interesting category because just 2 weeks prior to the transfer haul that Indiana had, like there was a lot of unrest with the current regime. There was a lot of unrest in the fan base. Or there was, I mean, loud unrest in the fan base, possibly. But both Greg and Carter, great hosts, again, go check them out, gave Indiana 10s all around for vibes. They said the whole bragging about money thing makes it so much easier for sure. Being able to brag about your wealth of your program is a huge vibe-boosting thing each offseason. And I totally agree. Feels great knowing we have that. Definitely, you know, helps my personal contribution to the overall vibes. For sure. You know, everything's easier with money. Life is easier with money. Go figure, college basketball would be too. I love it. Little bit of draft watch for you, as Jonathan Givony has mocked Kalel at number 25 following the combine, saying, "When healthy, the Knicks have strong depth and versatility at nearly every position and can afford to take a couple of swings on long-term upside if they can decide to keep one or both of their first-round picks. Ware has tremendous physical ability with his size, length, and mobility, as well as his ability to stretch the floor and protect the rim in small doses. If he can buy into playing the type of toughness and intensity that Tom Thibodeau requires, he could be a steal in this part of the draft." Kalel Ware about to be paid, about to be an NBA player. Awesome to see. Just wanted to put that on your radar. This week, we saw Indiana announce its first major non-conference opponent for next season. And yes, Indiana will be hosting the South Carolina Gamecocks on November 16th. This is a great matchup for the Hoosiers. South Carolina isn't a traditional, you know, basketball brand when you think about it, but their team has been rolling as of late. And just wherever they're projected for next season, this is going to be a resume-boosting possibility. You know, I'm in the camp that this non-conference season, every game is a resume-boosting possibility because I saw that when you don't treat the smaller non-conferences like that, you know, you get left out of tournaments. And while every game is a must-win, a must-decimate, a must-foot-on-the-gas game, this game at the beginning of the season is going to be a hell of a way to prime assembly hall for just all of the great basketball I expect for it to see this season. A few recruiting updates. Again, I'm kind of reevaluating how I'm going to be talking about recruiting on this show because, you know, Leah McNeely. You know, you can't invest too much because I'm just as happy with our recruiting class, you know, despite how it all went down. It almost seemingly seems like nothing matters until May, 3 months before a guy can potentially go to campus. So we're going to give time to high school recruiting. We're going to talk about guys that commit to Indiana because committing to Indiana is a big deal. We're going to talk about guys that Indiana is looking at, but we're not going to be as sick about it as we were with Liam McNeely. So, you know, as Coach Woodson can learn, I need to prove that me, myself, can learn as well. And we're going to adjust on this show. But Braylon Mullins has absolutely been rising onto many programs' radars. I mean, pretty much everyone's now. He was in the national recruiting news. Just his name was going around just as an absolute climber this last month or so. And he spoke to 24/7 Sports following a huge performance 2 weekends ago in that evaluation period, that lone weekend that coaches were able to make contact. And after Indiana was the lone real massive player in his recruitment, he just picked up offers from UNC and Purdue. And 24/7 Sports has also reported that Dan Hurley is circling Braylon. While speaking to 24/7 Sports, Braylon had said, "I'm going to visit Bloomington with Malachi Moreno and Trent Sicily. We all do different things for our team. I want to set it for early fall during the football games. That is what it is looking like right now. Coach Walsh and Coach Woodson are great people. They recruit me hard and they want me there. That is a big thing for me when a coach tells me that I should be in their program. They have a great culture and I feel Coach Woodson would get me prepared to play well at the next level." Yes, he will, Braylon. Come on, make the commitment. You know you want to be a Hoosier. Who doesn't? Come on, man. And last bit of Indiana news is just a shout-out. And just so you know, go sign up for Trey and Anthony Leal's Culver Basketball Camp. Coming up this coming Sunday, June 9th. Go sign up. It is $115 now that you missed your chance for the $99 deadline rate. But you can still get in for all that information. Just go ahead and Google Leal Galloway Culver Eventbrite. You'll be able to get in there. It is a one-day camp with Trey Galloway, Anthony Leal, and Taylor Weyer, an NBA trainer. It's just for kids from third grade to seniors in high school. One day, go out and support our guys. I always love bringing these up because I want to see Hoosiers get paid. If this is an NIL take and they're going to get a little off the top, go support our guys. Go support our guys. So they, you know, when they graduate, they tell anybody who's thinking about where to go to school, Indiana fans, pay. All right. On to the Big Ten news, the national news out there in the college basketball landscape. Easily the biggest piece of news in the college basketball world since our last time of recording was the passing of Bill Walton. And that's truly a heartbreaking passing for the world of college basketball and truly a unfortunate time for it to happen. You know, it's never a fortunate time to pass. Don't get me wrong, okay? But man, just one day after the final Pac-12 sporting event, when Bill is a Big Ten legend. If UCLA is a Big Ten team, that dude is a Big Ten legend. He might take umbrage with that, so I got to be careful there. But, you know, the thought of possibly having him on those West Coast calls when we're inevitably, you know, going to have to watch 10:30 tips, like super late tip-offs, you know, the thought of having him behind the mic made those a little less scary to me, made those a little more welcomed. I was pumped to see this guy be a part of Big Ten media. Unfortunately, it's just such a shame. He was fighting this battle with cancer quietly, and it's so interesting with him because he is one of those few personalities that come off as the real deal. Like, he seems like that is genuinely Bill compared to just some of the other broadcasters out there, some of the fake voices up there. Genuine Bill brought it every time, and it's a shame to see him pass this mortal coil. But you know how he would think of it. He's out there still riding the great ride, man. So, yeah, RIP Bill Walton. The Big Ten approved a settlement since the last time that the Big Ten and the NCAA approved a settlement, retroactively paying some players and, you know, setting the grounds for a bit more revenue sharing. And, you can go listen to the boring legal jargon on another podcast that I'm sure is discussing it. I'm sure there has to be tons discussing it because each of the Power Five conferences were involved. So if you want to see NIL litigation, if you want to discuss that, please, sorry, this isn't the place. I'm here to discuss college basketball in only the most superficial fashion. Which, I mean, on that, what I did want to bring up in regards to the litigation, the ruling on the revenue sharing for the NCAA moving forward. Yeah, I just like that they said the Big Ten is one of the five autonomous conferences. They used that word in lieu of Power Five. They said five autonomous conferences. And I like that. That sounds very, you know, mechanical, very, very official. And I'm going to start calling them the five autonomous. Yeah, the Big Ten, one of the five autonomous. And while scrolling the X this week, I just wanted to bring up one of those, you know, tier generators who just kind of post graphics to rile up fan bases against one another. The College Basketball Report released their college basketball fan base tiers. And Indiana found itself in the Nothing Else Matters category at the top, along with Duke, UNC, Kentucky, Kansas, and UConn. Whereas some of the Big Ten teams of follow found themselves in the diehard section, which was the very next, and those were Purdue, Michigan State, and Illinois. And, you know, it's all good fun. Just somebody posting graphics. I'm a sucker for posting graphics. I'm a simple man. I love seeing the logos. I love seeing where people tear them out. I've already said that on this episode. But I just found it so funny right now, the off-season nature of everything. It's just funny comments on this stuff. Like, I'm not being hyperbolic when I'm saying when you go to these posts right now in this off-season, heading into next year, I'm not grossly overstating it when I say Purdue fans had more to say about Indiana in the first tier than them in the second. It's facts. Also, while lists of these, of course, are subjective, with a damn near objective first tier like this, I don't see the problem. Like, obviously, those teams are the Nothing Else Matters. Purdue likes to just say how they're so much better at football. Yeah, guess why? Because nothing else matters, dude. That is exactly why we deserve to be there. This week, the Often Daunted podcast got some huge news for the show, for, you know, just the nature of this show for next season. The Big Ten discourse surrounding the play we're all going to be witnessing, and for the odds of the 2025 Big Ten Villain of the Year. He's back, y'all. Peyton Sanford is back. Let's give it up to him. Give it up to Peyton Sanford. He is making the right decision and coming back to the Big Ten to fulfill his duty to be the villain he was born to be. Last Wednesday, Peyton Sanford tweeted out, "The process has been an unbelievable experience, and thanks to everyone for all the help along the way. But my heart is still in Iowa City. Unfinished business. Trust in God's plan always. See y'all soon." He's back, ladies and gentlemen. This is huge news. His Big Ten Villain of the Year chances for this show are very, very much hindered by the fact that we only get to play at Iowa once this season, and he will not be able to step foot in Assembly Hall this year. But I truly believe if he puts in the work, if he puts in the extra credit, like, he can get it done. He can make a repeat performance for Big Ten Villain of the Year. I'm calling out because I want more villains to step up. It went to him because there was no true villain this year. He was my favorite heading into the year, and that's probably why he got it, just because nobody really made a case for me to change that. Again, yeah, of course, like, Taryn Janet could possibly have done very villainous stuff, but that also would be villainy detrimental to the nature intended for this award. This is more of a playful villainy. Yeah, all this to say, Peyton Sanford's back, and he's definitely not going to have much help, but it's nice to see they got their guy. Also returning, Penn State got a huge return in the form of Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Ace Baldwin Jr. Big get. You know, this was Mike Rhodes' guy heading into the season, came with him from VCU. He was able to lead the conference in steals per game, while also remaining ranked near the top nationally in both of those easily, as well as having his 88 steal mark on the season, ranked third all-time for a player in a Penn State season. He gave our backcourt fits with just how active his hands are, and this is a big get for the Nittany Lions to have returning. You know, he leaves a bit to be desired on the offensive end, but defensively, he is second to none. Ace Baldwin is just about as active as they get, and if you can play defense, man, you can succeed in this conference, and the stability he brings is going to be huge for Mike Rhodes to potentially fight his way out of this bottom tier he consistently finds himself in these rankings right now for the conference. Illinois got a huge pickup in Kasparis Jakusionis. Jakusionis? In Kasparis Jakusionis. There you go. Who had been previously playing for Barcelona. The 6'4 shooting guard is an elite passer, but not proven to be one of those, you know, go and get your own bucket scorers that Brad Underwood has just shown that he loves. And who doesn't love that guy? Who doesn't love somebody who can go get their own bucket? Unfortunately, yeah, they seem to be missing a crucial piece or, you know, aspect of their game that has been on this team for a while. And while Kasparis Jakusionis is a big pickup for just ball distribution and having your team be able to move the ball fluidly, it isn't quite the splash that I had almost expected Brad Underwood to make. What was the splash that I expected him to make was Igor Demon. That seemed like more like the wing scorer that, you know, Brad shocks by getting this time of the year. Unfortunately for Brad, Illinois lost out on him just this last week as he has committed to BYU. And that BYU must have dropped a bag, an absolute bag. But that's no excuse for Illinois, man. Like, Brad's kind of made his bread and butter by being the transfer god. And this class is nothing to laugh at, but it isn't what I was fearing that they could potentially put together. Speaking of Illinois, Coleman Hawkins has removed himself from the draft process since our last time of recording, and he will be transferring this coming season. Good. Good. During the NBA Combine, Coleman Hawkins had said, "I will never play in the Big Ten again. I wouldn't play in the Big East. I would go somewhere with a football team where I can enjoy a football game. Some schools have reached out, but some schools, I've just been honest with them, and I haven't wasted their time. I just flat out told them that that's just not somewhere I would even consider going." So yeah, Coleman Hawkins out of the NBA draft process. Of course, he's going to be just the highest paid individual still remaining in the portal. I think he's like the 24th ranked recruit overall of this class. But with his ability to push out his decision as long as he has, like, there are going to be desperate teams lined up to pay somebody for a shooting forward. While I was a little surprised that Coleman had came back into the transfer process following his just really huge showing during the NBA Combine, he really came out and put out something to, you know, make the NBA execs think twice. Who isn't going back after, I mean, I think Coleman had more of a reason to stay in this draft than Cam Christie, but Cam Christie is sticking with the draft process. He is going to be playing professionally next year. Whether that is in the NBA or whether he drops out, he won't drop out. I have to imagine somebody takes a shot on him. There's so much potential in that kid. I was just bummed to see, because like that dude, again, like I said about McKenzie, having him come back for a sophomore season, he is going to be a dangerous dude. All-American coming back for a sophomore season. Cam Christie could have been on that level. Like, he would have been a problem in the Big Ten. I mean, he wasn't going to the Big Ten next season. No way Minnesota would be able to outbid whatever team desperately would line up for Cam Christie right now. But it's crazy. These guys have tough decisions to make. Like, Cam Christie, genuinely, I think you could make two or three times more in college basketball than you could in the NBA next season. You're a playmaking wing, and there are plenty of desperate teams out there. Plenty of desperate teams with real cash. And no, he's saying, I'm done with school. I hate school. I hate school so much, I'm going to take a massive pay cut. other transfer news around the conference, the ex-Rutgers transfer, Muwat Meg, has committed to play for BYU next season. Again, BYU dropping money. They lost their coach. I mean, they're going to make up for it with their roster. They're telling themselves that. And getting guys like Muwat Meg. Muwat Meg is a lockdown defender. But, I mean, who on that Rutgers team last year wasn't? They were, like, third in the nation. Everybody's so high on this Rutgers team. But guys like Muwat Meg leaving, guys like Cliff Omorui leaving, that tells me that those guys didn't want to be a part of what is unquestionably the most hyped year in all of Rutgers basketball, potentially. That says something to what's going on in New Jersey, if you ask me. I'm just not as high on Rutgers, man. I can't find myself there. I know how much freshmen have to hit to find success relying on them. And while they have very good freshmen that should be able to be relied on, that's so much with just how empty they are in that front court. And seeing guys like Muwat Meg just hurts that Rutgers team. And last bit of conference news, not really conference news, national news. I just wanted to bring up that Alex Caravan is returning to UConn. This is a big return for them. He shoots the lights out of the ball. He is a returning foundational piece for Dan Hurley next season. But, you know, here's hoping that they can't bring it together for a third time. How ridiculous would that be, right? They seem to replace all this NBA talent year after year and just run it back. While I was totally okay with saying, yeah, UConn's going to have a year where they have to figure it out again. I just don't know if that's going to be the case with guys like Alex Caravan being able to bring back in a second voice for Hurley to, you know, tell these guys what he needs from them. Big get for Dan Hurley, but all that dude does is win right now. We must stop him. That's all I've got for you on the conference news, the national news out there. Now it's time for Burke's Big Five College Experiences. Yes, this is the Burke's Big Five segment where I just pick out one category and pick my favorite five amongst the Big Ten schools. This one being the college experiences. Maybe I shouldn't say college experiences. I just mean like, you know, college town. Where would I want to live in the Big Ten? If not Bloomington. Of course, Bloomington's number one. I regret nothing about my choice to attend Indiana University. It's the greatest town you could spend 4 years of your life in. And of course, it'd be number one. So I have to remove that altogether for this segment. Yeah, let's go. This is my top five of where I would want to go to school in the Big Ten, not knowing much about these other than, only the most superficial bullshit about them. And number five, I'm going to go Penn State. You know, tucked in the mountains, a town rallying around football, possibly to an unhealthy level. I could buy into the tucked away rabid fan base. I like everything that could potentially come with that. There's plenty that, you know, maybe they could use me down there, holding in the line, keeping people accountable. But I think Penn State would be a top five Big Ten college experience. At number four, I have Columbus. Again, Bloomington would be number one, you guys. You're not going to hear it on here. Number four, Columbus, the Big Ten's biggest city except for L.A., and no thanks to that one. There's a reason UCLA and USC may find their names in the 17th and 18th spot on this list if they were to go that far. For me, it would be cool to go to a city of this size. You can get around it. Bigger events than the standard college town. Also, probably more expensive beers, which is a red flag, but I can get over that. At number three, at number three, I have Washington. Sailgating rules, man. I saw the Northwestern football stadium for this coming season with their renovations going on their main stadium. Was tweeted out the image of it on the lake there, and I'm like, man, is this Indiana's opportunity for a sailgating situation? Do all the Indiana fans, you know, tow their boats to Lake Michigan, and can we throw the first official Indiana Hoosier sailgating session? Seems like the only opportunity we'll have in the Big Ten. I mean, other than going across the country for a game against Washington, which, now that I'm saying it out loud, might have to be on my bucket list. Number two, I got Wisconsin. Madison, Wisconsin. They party their asses off. It's a great college town. Jump around is just a mid-game tradition that I can absolutely get behind. Madison, it all plays. Wisconsin. Yeah, if I wasn't born in the state where, you know, Indiana kids kind of go to Indiana or Purdue if they're going to one of those state schools, I could see myself going to Wisconsin. And lastly, at the number one spot, Ann Arbor. I'm a sucker for Michigan, man. Pure Michigan. There is something to it. There is. Ann Arbor's right with Bloomington on student percentage of population. And those situations really provide a bubble that is fun to live in, you know? It's life in a bubble of your peers. And for some reason, I think that that's what college should be. You know, you aren't in the real world. You are in a bubble. It is fantasy. You know, get all the shit you need done, and you truly can live in a fantasy realm for 4 years before reality comes calling. And that was Burke's Big Five for this week. With all that out of the way, we'll get you on to this week's segment, that being me just going through Bart Torvik's projections for all the Big Ten teams right now. And then we'll get you on out of here with a Hoosier history hit. But all of that will be following these short words from me. The Often Daunted Podcast is brought to you by me, myself, and I. You know, I put in the work. These off-season episodes are a lot of fun to put together, kind of, you know, come up with the ramblings for the segment. And I just appreciate all of you for giving the show a listen. If you haven't, please feel free to subscribe to the show. Really helps me out. Doesn't cost you nothing. Promise. And if you haven't followed me across all socials, you can find me everywhere at Often Daunted. Thank you again so much for giving this show a shot. And I can't appreciate it enough. Thank you. All right, we're talking Bart Torvik because we cannot talk KenPom yet. KenPom hasn't released his rankings for the upcoming season, so we will be looking at the second most respected projection guy, I guess, projection guru, Bart Torvik. And I have to say, some of his are questionable this year, if you ask me, but again, KenPom's are always questionable, if you ask me. But we're going to be going through this, and I just wanted to share some of my thoughts on where each of the Big Ten teams find themselves ranked amongst the rest of the college basketball landscape at this point in time by our friend, Mr. Bart. So let's get it started with the projected number 18 team in the Big Ten and the projected number 77 team overall, Penn State. Penn State, like I said, they just got Ace Baldwin back. But other than that, man, it's going to be a struggle for Mike Rhodes and company to even get to the Big Ten tournament with the way that the bottom four teams are out, man. It's going to be a battle for Penn State to fight out of that bottom four this year. And for this coming season, Bart Torvik has the Penn State Nittany Lions as the only Big Ten team ranked lower than an American League team, with that American League team being North Texas. At number 17 in the Big Ten, we have Minnesota, and nobody has seen a bigger fall off from potential than Minnesota this transfer portal. Man, you thought that Minnesota was running it back with everyone but Dawson Garcia as, you know, Big Ten season came to a close, it seemed. And unfortunately for that program and all their fans, it seems to be doing the exact opposite. They are running it back with Dawson Garcia and nobody else. Big pieces like Elijah Hawkins heading out, as well as Cam Christie sticking with the NBA draft process. Absolutely gutting to any of the potential that Ben Johnson had garnered this last season. And man, finding themselves ranked 69th nationally in Bart Torvik at this time, I feel like it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better for our friends up in Minnesota. At number 16 in the Big Ten, number 54 nationally, is Iowa. Yeah, Iowa lost a lot this transfer portal. I thought they had lost a lot more. I had just brought up in the show prior that Peyton Sanford is returning. This is the biggest win that Iowa has had this offseason. Peyton Sanford returning is a huge shot maker, a huge facet of their offense. I mean, it's Iowa. They need their shot makers. Peyton Sanford seems to be one of the few they can count on returning. Owen Freeman should be able to provide some stability following his Big Ten Freshman of the Year, co-Big Ten Freshman of the Year performance. But as far as just where they can expect to be, when your own flesh and blood is looking to get out of the program, something might be going wrong in Iowa. And Bart Torvik is a lot more, he needs you to prove it, because he has Illinois currently sitting at number 15 in the Big Ten projected for next season and number 52 nationally, falling right between UAB and a AJ Hogard-led Vanderbilt. Projecting Illinois to finish 9-11 in conference, Bart Torvik really doesn't have much faith in the roster that Brad Underwood has been able to put together so far. A lot of Brad's game has been these combo guard scoring threats, and this team doesn't seemingly have that. I think it might have been a little disrespectful for Bart to put them here at number 15. Yeah, that's pretty low for Illinois, who's been just one of the most reliable programs in this conference for as long as they have. But when you sit down and look at the Illinois roster as currently constructed, man, they're going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to figure something out to really play above how this roster reads. Projected to finish in the 14th spot in the Big Ten, you know, grabbing one of those. Oh gosh, he has Illinois projected to miss the Big Ten tournament. At the year after winning it. Jeez, the brutality that one can find in the transfer portal era is pretty remarkable. At number 14, he has Washington. Washington made headlines with their addition of Gray Osabor. That being said, I said it last time when we announced that he was heading there, I would need Hall of Fame Osabor for the price that they got him at. And other than him, the roster doesn't do too much to threaten me. I'm not scared of it, and I totally agree with. I honestly have them high. Like, I think they'll finish worse than that, but I can't disagree with him too much, having them in the bottom half for sure. At number 47 nationally and number 13 and projected to finish 13th in the Big Ten, Bart Torvik had placed Oregon. It's so interesting where you put these West Coast teams, because it's truly a juxtaposition in play style that they are going to find themselves in. It's going to be interesting to see the play style that emerges when we introduce these new teams. But yeah, I see Oregon being able to get scrappy with it, being able to contend for an NCAA berth, because it seems like they're always contending for an NCAA berth. I mean, for that reason alone, I would be hesitant to put them this low, but welcome to the Big Ten. You got to earn your respect. So yeah, let's just go ahead and place Oregon there. At number 12, he had Maryland. That was Maryland at number 12, but he also has them nationally number 46. So let's start thinking from now on, from here on out, these are the teams that Bart Torvik thinks can, you know, really make it into that NCAA tournament, find themselves with a berth. And I would start that with Maryland at 46. I believe Torvik here is far more realistic with what this Maryland team should look like next season than many of those projecting them in the top 25. Crazy, if you ask me. And this is a guy who has only ever sipped the Maryland Kool-Aid and only ever overestimated them. Julian Reese, I'm going to say it every opportunity I get. That dude had 0 points against Purdue. When you're like, this is the most dominant guy at our position in the conference, you need 1 point just for your own personal constitution, my friend. And the fact he was unable to get it, just it's a red flag. It is. It might be a really dumb and really ticky-tack red flag, but that is a red flag for me. I'm not buying this Maryland team who lost Jameer Young. So what do they have? Dairy Queen. Yeah, sure. But it's going to look different. At number 42 nationally and 11th within the Big Ten, Bart Torvik had placed Nebraska. Nebraska lost a ton, and that was before the announcement of Rink Mass going down for the season. The Dutch Destroyer will be out of, just all play. And there was a point in my mind where I was like, this guy is all Big Ten stuff. Like, he may have been one of the more reliable front court pieces in this conference. His ability to pass from the paint, it was TJD light to me. Just whenever I got a chance to tune in to Rink Mass doing his thing. Just gutting news for that program when so much of next season was going to be based on Rink Mass being one of the most reliable players in this conference. I'm okay with him having them here at 11, but honestly, Rink Mass going down, this season is a wash. This season's over for Nebraska in my mind. Unless they find a diamond in the rough to an extent that we just haven't seen it. Oh, I guess to an extent that he's like Zach Edey, I guess, comes out of nowhere. Yeah, I don't see it for Nebraska. I don't see them finishing this high. Another team I don't see finishing this high because I never, I underestimated them last year. They were far more reliable than I had initially thought they would be. Wisconsin. At number 10, Wisconsin, ranked number 41 nationally by Bart Torvik. They lost a ton, and it isn't so much, and more so than the players they lost, it's what those players brought. Like, their playmakers, their ceiling for, you know, game-changing moments and runs has been largely handicapped by the loss of AJ Storr and Chucky Hepburn. I'm okay with placing them there at 10th because I've been wrong about Wisconsin far too long. at number 9, Bart Torvik had placed Ohio State number 37 nationally. Ohio State's made some very big moves. Went out there and got some players to really take note of. You thought maybe with the announcement of Diebler, they might take a hit, but no, he really attacked the transfer portal, and that fan base seems to feel like they have a lot to be excited about. And your interim coach who exceeded expectations, be excited. It's going to be a fun first year, but just losing Felix Akpara is big for this Ohio State roster. That dude was coming back as probably the most dominant Big Ten rim protector. Now that Zach's gone, now that Kalel Ware is gone, as far as proven in the Big Ten rim protectors went, with Clifford Omorui leaving, it would have been him. Big loss for Ohio State there. I really think you could have made him one of your program guys. But nonetheless, Ohio State in the top 10 makes sense. I honestly would probably have them higher here. I think that there is talent found on this roster that can make Ohio State dangerous this season. Like I had spoken to about Cam Christie and both Mbako. But Ohio State is getting that in Bradshaw. They're getting a McDonald All-American back for a sophomore year. Those are the guys you want. Those are guys that win a shit ton of games for you. And credit for Diebler going out and getting that. Finishing at number 8 in the Big Ten for Bart Torvik was Northwestern. Finishing 36th nationally, Northwestern is losing their X factor. You know, Boo Booey. Credit to Boo Booey because he seemingly has rewritten the entire identity of Northwestern basketball in just his short stint of being like one of the playmakers there. You guys, there was a time before Boo Booey, and there's going to be a time after Boo Booey. I'm expecting a slide to the mean for Northwestern. I'm expecting the Booey era to come to an end, and for that to be far more apparent than a lot of people believe it will be. I personally don't see Northwestern finishing in that top 10 of the Big Ten, but I want to say I've been wrong about Chris Collins, but maybe I've just been wrong about Boo Booey. We shall see. Finishing at number 7, finishing 31 nationally, currently in Bart Torvik's preseason rankings, we have Michigan. Michigan went out and got Dusty May. They went out and got the heir apparent for a lot of Indiana fans who genuinely didn't understand that if anybody comes to you with $3 million or $2 million, like, you're going to take that job. He couldn't wait forever, you guys. He needed to take advantage of his opportunities while they were presented to him. And Dusty May is the head coach of the Michigan basketball team now. For Michigan, they went out and got that he had money to play with, and he had to play within the parameters that he must now play within as far as, you know, Michigan standards and admissions goes. But he did a hell of a job with it so far. Went out and got Vlad Golden. You know, you can expect that he's going to be able to get that done. Went out and got Danny Wolf. Their front court is going to be one of the stronger ones in this conference. And strong front courts in the Big Ten translate into wins a lot of the time. You know, maybe I wish it translated a little more frequently for Indiana, but I have faith in Dusty May to be able to get the most out of this roster. And I think that they could finish a little higher than Bart currently has them projected here. What I do respect is Bart's pick for number six to finish in the Big Ten, Rutgers. This is a far more realistic finish than most are, you know, displaying right now for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I can't stress enough, I said it when we discussed Moat Meg, like the fact that him and Cliff both left, I'm not even questioning it. What is the most anticipated season in the history of Rutgers basketball? The fact those two vets didn't want to sign up for that is alarming to me. It should be signs that something is up in that program. And I say that as a guy whose players did not do that. Our vets made it abundantly clear they're coming back to be a part of whatever Mike Woodson's got going on right out of the gate. And with Rutgers having as much anticipation for next season as they had, like, you would have liked to have seen that from some of these guys who were quote-unquote program staples. Two freshmen can get you so far. They can get you far. Ask Kentucky with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. But I think Dylan Harper and Ace are a hell of a combo for your backcourt in the Big Ten, but they are not a combo the caliber of John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. This is the biggest contradiction I have with Mr. Bart here. He has USC ranked number 5 in this conference. He has them ranked 25, so a top 25 team nationally. I'm sorry. There is no way the Muscle Magic can put them at 5 in this loaded, not even so much loaded as just huge conference. 18 teams. You're telling me USC is going to finish 5th. The reason I'm so high on this Indiana team is because the guys we have coming back. Those guys are going to be crucial in shepherding every transfer piece into Bloomington, into the community, into their daily routine. And USC has none of that. USC's program has one player returning. And with their entire coaching staff having left, that is one player one individual in the entire program returning to college basketball. To USC for college basketball. One individual. That guy has a lot of work on his hands showing these guys, you know, the lay of the land in California. I think things like that are crucial in being able to make a transfer team gel well. And this Musselman first year is going to be rough. You can't convince me otherwise until he is just out there winning Big Ten game after Big Ten game. Then I'll start believing you. But until then, I just do not see USC finishing in the top 10 in this conference. They might have the talent. They might have the talent. But with USC comes a lot of distraction, I have to imagine. And in tandem with that, you have a lot of guys not familiar with the infrastructure in place to help them settle down in that area. There's so much that goes into moving into college, man. I know they're going to take care of those guys, but it is so crucial to have those players in the locker room that have the experience to show these guys the way. I think that's going to desperately hurt USC and desperately hurt where they rank in this conference. At number 4, just ahead of USC, kind of, honestly, I'm offended. Indiana. At number 4 in the conference, at number 23 nationally. Bart currently has us finishing 11-9 in the conference. If we finish 11-9, that's a problem. That's a great season for most teams. That's a problem for this roster. I can't even talk on Indiana that much for this because I'm just like, number 4 is ridiculous. You're going to have us behind. Let's talk about number 3 to talk about number 4. Michigan State, 3rd in the Big Ten, 20 nationally. Of course, Michigan State is showing up at number 3. What do they have returning? They've lost everybody. They have Xavier Booker returning for a breakout sophomore season, you hope. That is the All-American I'm talking about, coming back for a sophomore year. It's going to be huge. He is going to be a great piece for them. But other than that, man, they have so much to be proven. Jaden Akins, yeah, he'll be a competent two-guard, but it's ridiculous, this Michigan State bias. Where does it come from? Is it just loving the aughts of college basketball? Michigan State at 3rd is absolutely crazy to me. Like, what has Izzo done in this transfer portal to address anything that has... Okay, honestly, Mike Woodson and Coach Izzo, a lot of their ways, they're set in their coaching styles. Credit to Mike Woodson for seeing the problems that were with his roster and addressing them in the transfer portal. Tom Izzo hasn't apparently done that. He seemingly hasn't done that. And having them there is crazy to me. Number 2, UCLA. Again, after what? They're bringing back players from what was that UCLA team last year other than a disappointment? I imagine them to have a pretty awesome home court advantage with everyone having to travel to California for that. It's going to be awesome to welcome UCLA into the Big Ten and just have that iconic basketball brand affiliated with the Big Ten now. And yeah, sure, Mick Cronin moving back to the Midwest, like getting to play more Midwest basketball. That's his style. Maybe it works for him playing in the conference. But also on the inverse, maybe other teams playing the same style as him, a little more in line with his style, hurts him. Maybe he was playing Big Ten basketball in the Pac-12, and that's why he was successful. Maybe when he's playing Big Ten basketball in the Big Ten, he might have to get a little more creative. But yeah, number two was UCLA. And number one, of course, Bart, much like the rest of the nation, seems to think that Purdue is again going to be the number one team in the Big Ten. Yeah, we've counted Matt Painter out before, and he's definitely made us look a fool by taking the conference. But you can't tell me after you lose Zach Edey, nothing's going to change. You're still just the top. People thinking Braden Smith's going to take a breakout year again after he just had a massive breakout year. Credit to him for that year. After he lost three of his top four assist generators, I guess, like dudes who scored off of his passes with Mason, Lance Jones, and Zach Edey all gone. And you can't tell me that whoever they're replacing Mason Gillis and Zach Edey with are going to be able to produce at the conversion rate on the same in par with those two guys. There's no way. Zach Edey, if he consciously tried to, he might have been able to shoot 100 in the Big Ten season. Like, let's really think about it. If he told himself, I'm only dunking and I'm not going to miss a shot this year, he might have been able to do that, and they still would have won the Big Ten. They still could have won the conference. Like, that is a real possibility in my, you know, broken brain. I just don't see it. I think they're due to slide back, but they've proven me wrong before, so can't really throw up too much of a fight for that one. I'm just so ready for this Indiana and Purdue rivalry to be nasty again. Like, they decimated. Like, it was just, the rivalry this year was so bad. So bad. I need it back. I need it back on top where these two are just the unquestioned two best teams in the conference. So while I am expecting a Purdue slide, I don't want them to slide back that far. And that was your dumb segment for the week. Yep, just breaking down Bart Torvik's Big Ten projections, where he thinks we're all going to finish, and sharing some of my thoughts on them. Now let's get on to a Hoosier history hit, and then we'll get you on out of here.
This is your Hoosier history hit.
And my selection for the Hoosier history hit today is from goldenbook.iu.edu. I wanted to bring up the Indiana University Golden Book because of Memorial Day. I missed the Memorial Day episode because I was on vacation with my family. It was lake time, y'all. But I wanted to shine a light on the Golden Book gracing the halls of our union on campus. And per the goldenbook.iu.edu, sequestered deep within the Indiana Memorial Union, the Golden Book is a testament to thousands of IU men and women who have served the United States military. Each page of the book lists the names of veterans as well as donors to IU's Memorial Fund, which sponsored the construction of three buildings on campus in honor of those men and women: Memorial Hall, Indiana Memorial Union, and Memorial Stadium. Inside the book, carefully written by hand, are the names of IU alumni who served in the War of 1812, the Black Hawk War, the Mexican War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, the Philippine Insurrection, the Mexican Border Expedition, World War I, and World War II. While the pages are fragile and can no longer be handled, you can still read the names and stories of IU's heroes, including those who served since World War II, in a digitalized version of the book at the opposite end of the room. And the Golden Book is a testament and just collection of those heroes that have served for the United States military and that have gotten to call themselves Indiana University students. If you're wondering where this book is, it's across from the Starbucks in the Union, across the hall there, right outside of Alumni Hall. The Golden Book's 152 pages include the names of 25,000 who served from 1812 through World War II. Just a piece of Indiana University's history that deserves being brought up when I had missed the Memorial Day episode for you. So go check it out. I love old books. I love old buildings. I just love the history of this campus, of this university, and I love sharing it. The Golden Book, it's not much to look at, but it's just cool to look at, man. Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Often Daunted podcast. I appreciate you again for giving me the weekend off last week. This coming episode, I am so pumped to have Jeff and Ben on. These guys, they are my insight into the blunt reality of what's going on a lot of the time. They record the Hoosier Court Pod, which is just a immediate after the fact, after the game, these two hop on with each other, share their thoughts on what they just saw. I just love tuning in, listening to two friends discuss Indiana basketball. I will sit down and listen to pretty much any two people discuss Indiana basketball, but these two are a great time to listen to, and I'm so pumped to have them on the show next week. Please come back for that. If you haven't, again, feel free to subscribe. Follow me at Often Daunted. Thank you all so much. You and yours have a great week, Hoosier fans. God bless y'all. Lux et Veritas. Go Hoosiers. Down with everybody else.